Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice. And it's another week of Mind Body Stuff.
Another week of Mind Body Stuff. You guys, we are starting a singing company.
That's right. I always wanted to be a singer.
You're pretty good at it, though.
I really love the singing with the microphone. But you know what? I realized you have the voice of the singer.
What does that mean?
I mean, like, if I'm teaching a class and I'm singing along, I realize, yeah. I'm like, my voice sounds really good.
Oh, because you're just
but
matching
I realize theirs. It's covered. Any problem with it is covered up by the perfect voice of the singer,
oh,
of
absolutely.
The real singer. Because the other day I tried to sing somewhere where it didn't have the voice of the singer in the background.
Yeah,
and I was like, I can't really hit that note.
It's really hard.
And I thought I was. Anyway.
Well, and I bet you kind of are when you're with the singer. It's almost like you need, it's almost like following choreography. You're like, what is it? What's the note?
Yes, right.
And then you listen and you're like, oh yeah, I've got it.
I've got it. Yes, exactly.
I just still wish I was better at memorizing lyrics. Like, I'm good at it for some things, but it's just so awesome when an instructor just totally nails the lyrics.
Oh, yes.
Some
right.
Some people are so good at it.
Kirsten Paisley's one
Kirsten's
of our.
Kirsten's good. Susie's good.
Susie's good. Yeah, she totally sings along with the right song.
It's awesome.
It's real good. And then the people really get the meaning of the song.
When we try, but like the song Champion. You gotta get booze. But I can never figure out which
and
order
then I'd
those
be like
were.
Prompt them. I'm like, you got them then for you.
You got it.
And then they're like, get up. And I'm like, get up. That's right. Good job. That's right.
Oh.
You got to fall down before you fight back.
That's
or
right.
Thing.
I was feeling so weak.
But baby, I'm strong. That one I always screwed up.
I love that one. But we just replaced it this week with another Bishop Briggs song.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, you guys. For Halloween, it's called Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde.
I want everyone out there who does Ula, I know some of you don't, that's great too. But for those of you who do Ula, it's such an awesome song.
It's pretty
she goes,
good.
Are you Jekyll and Hyde in there? And it's my 2.5-year-old's favorite song right now. We listen to it all day long, and she's so funny. When
oh, does she
sings,
love that part?
Are you Jekyll and Hyde
in there? Oh,
yes,
she awesome. Does that voice.
Oh, yeah. We all do. It's
oh,
a great
that's a
song.
A good voice. Who
I
would have thought
song.
That as you're writing a song too? You're like, we're going to do this part. Yeah. Like, it's like, whoa. It's like some sort of possession.
Oh, yeah. It sounds
it's
awesome.
It's really good. And then parts of it, she goes,
oh, yeah. She makes
in
crazy
the background.
Sound.
And I was like, ooh, I love
she's
that.
She's wild. She's
super
totally wild.
Creative.
I know. She's awesome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop.
Bishop Briggs. I thought you were going to say another word right then. And I'm like, whoa.
Thank you, bitch.
And I was like, is that her name? Bitch Briggs? No, it's not her name.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Not her name.
Not her name. So today, what are we talking about?
Aren't we supposed to say something like, you should listen to us on...
Oh, we're supposed to say, hey, you guys,
yeah.
If you like this podcast, like us as people, I don't know, if you're bored.
Bored.
If you have 30 extra seconds.
Better not be.
Like our podcast, subscribe to us, rate us, follow us, share us.
Yeah, because we want to grow and grow and grow.
We do.
Yeah.
Right? What's wrong with that? What do you think is the motivation behind wanting more listeners?
Well, I want more listeners so I can have more things to talk about. Motivation.
What's your motivation?
Because I'm motivated to, I want more people to listen to us because, and I do, I like what we get to talk about.
Right.
And when we have more listeners, we get more input, I think.
Yeah. And I do feel, I mean, you know, I'm super into woo-woo stuff, but I feel like the more people are like thinking about things and ruminating on things, like, I don't know. I just think there's a collective energy of like, mm-hmm. Okay, let's explore some of these things. Like,
yes.
What is, okay, so today, if you didn't notice from our hints, we're talking about what motivates you.
Motivates.
Like, where does motivation come from? But like, let's say all week we think about, oh, I wonder what my motivation was for doing that. Or I wonder what my motivation was for reacting that way or saying yes to this thing that I didn't want to. Or, you know, lashing out at my husband. Or like, you know, what is the motivation behind our actions, behind mm-hmm. our reactions. Mm-hmm. So what if we're all for the next week thinking about this? Then don't you think that ultimately creates mindfulness? And mindfulness ultimately creates more, hopefully, peace. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important.
And it creates more psychic energy.
More psychic energy.
Because we're all energy beings.
Yes.
You know, we're emitting energy all the time. They can read it on those energy counters or whatever.
They can read it on those counters.
We've got the energy counters and we read it all the time. Oh, but and that's why I think the more listeners we have, the more energy is generated. And then there's almost more information.
There totally is. And there's more connection. Just think we're all kind of like doing this personal work or thinking about a certain topic. There's something to that. There's a connection piece to it.
Yes.
You know?
That's a good point. It's kind of like what we talked about last week, the group work.
For sure.
The group work, and that's sort of in a microcosm. Right. You know, you have like 20 people there in the group. And now with a podcast, you can have thousands and thousands of people all ruminating on the same subject.
Yeah. Well, and what I think is also fascinating is something that a lot of you guys talk about. We hear very often, like, you have no idea how relevant this is to me right now. You have no idea, like, this totally is happening in my life right now. Or I've been thinking so much about this too, because I think this type of thing also helps us realize we are all connected. And I do think that there's these like energetic wavelengths that a lot of us kind of hop on together. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this before too, like some of the podcast people that I listen to and follow, sometimes we'll put out a podcast in the same week, they'll put out a podcast on the same topic. I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
But all it means is we're on the same like wavelength.
Psychic wave.
We're on a psychic wave.
Yeah, we're on a psychic wave. And it's like I said before, in a more simpler terms,
We
got the energy readers. And when I do the answering the phones for the rafting company. How about that?
Absolutely.
And everybody calls at around the same time, like around 3:00. And I'll get calls from all around the country.
Yeah.
All at the same time. Right. Like, so if people aren't calling at 3:00, it's 5:00 on the East Coast, yeah, 2:00 on the West Coast. But suddenly no one's called all day and I'll have 30 calls at 3:00.
Yeah,
and I'll be like, hello. And they're like, can I go rafting on, you know, July 17th? I'm like, sure. Hold on one second. And it's like, hello. Yeah. Can I go rafting on July 12th? I'm like, yes. Where are you calling from? They're like, Delaware. I'm like, okay, hold on. It's very, very odd that we're all that interconnected.
And I think the more we realize that we're so interconnected, the less isolated we feel, the less like kind of out on our own we feel.
And maybe the more motivated we feel.
The more motivated we feel to know that, we're part of something.
Yeah.
We're connected.
Because when you feel isolated, I think, is one of the sometimes is where you kind of shut down.
I totally shut down.
Like I get all like, well, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. I'll just do this. I mean, I really don't have to do anything today. It has no bearing on anyone's life.
Right.
You know, totally. And suddenly I do less and less and less.
Yes.
Because nobody's really checking in. I'm not connected to anybody. Nobody's connected to me. And I feel very poorly motivated.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. We had a friend walk in and she's got 3 kids and she's single parenting and one of her kids is a baby. And she's like, what are you guys going to podcast on? We're like, what motivates people? And she's like, survival.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, survival. I know that if I don't get up and get out of my bed and go do something, like my kids aren't going to eat. Mm. So I think first of all, if we think about like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, don't you think that survival kind of trumps most things or not?
Oh, yes. Especially the problem for folks with survival is if you have all of your survival needs met,
yes,
you can't depend on survival.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, I don't know. I have a trust fund. You know, whatever. There's almost nothing pushing them to be like, but, you know, how will you put food on the table tomorrow?
Yes.
And who's going to take care of your kids? They're kind of like, it's all taken care of. I really don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's why you have your mom's friend who had to go into therapy because she couldn't decide if she wanted to decorate in Chinese style or in like
a Greco-Roman.
A Greco-Roman style. And she became suicidal
because of it.
Because she couldn't make that decision.
In one of her apartments.
Right. Like, that's totally crazy.
Versus, like, sometimes I think survival is a gift. Like, that's a terrible thing to say. But, you know, where you have that, where you're just like, this is it.
This is it. Like, this is what I have to think about.
Do I want my kids to eat tomorrow?
Then here we go.
Then I better get the frick up off my freaking bed and go out and figure it out.
Yeah.
Because those people are looking to me.
But don't you think that's kind of why sometimes people in third world countries are actually happier?
Yes.
Like, you know, when you're like, this is what I do.
it's very cut and dry too. It's like, yeah, what did you do? This is how I put food on the table. This
and I did.
We, and when we did.
And you know what?
And we ate and we were thankful.
And we were thankful for it because food. It wasn't a given. I was trying. So, okay. So Huxley lost her first tooth over the weekend. So as the tooth fairy, I snuck in there, put a $5 bill in the thing. And Rob was all pissed at me because he was like, $5? He's like, that's way too much money.
Oh, how funny.
And I was like, well, but I knew that she wanted to go down to Create Art Bar. So we have a new art bar in town. For those of you Missoulians listening, go down to Create Art Bar. It's awesome. You can have a cocktail and then you can do like can any types stuff. Of crafts. And so the kids, there's a bunch of stuff for kids. So you can make bracelets. You can do a canvas. So Huxley, we were talking about it. I'm like, okay, so like whenever you lose your tooth and the tooth fairy comes, what do you want to spend your money on? And she said that she wanted to go down to Create and make a bracelet. And oh. I said, awesome. And I kind of knew how much that cost. And so I'm like, $5. That'll be great. It'll like cover her cost. So here's what happened. So I took out some cash to go take her and Piper. So I had cash in my hand, but I made her go get her $5 bill from the tooth fairy. And so we walk out to the front door, or like we get our shoes on and everything. I had the cash and she accidentally left her $5 bill on the table. And Rob was like, Huxley, grab your money. And she was like, well, mom has money. Oh. So why do I have to spend mine on this if mom has money? And I was like, well, Huxley, because like that's what you are going to – that because you have to pay.
It's probably – that's why the tooth fairy gave you that money.
Yeah. So you could go do that. You said you wanted to use your tooth fairy money to do this. She's like, but you have money in your hands for you and Piper.
That's very logical.
You know, and I was just like, well, I don't know. It was like really weird. But it kind of showed me. It's like she has absolutely no respect or understanding of how money works.
Yes.
Because it's like, oh, well, mom has some.
That's
so how. So why do I need to spend my money?
That's exactly right. That's
you know? It. And so it is kind of the thing. If it was like if we had both been like scrapping up our cash together to go and make a bracelet, it would be a very special thing to be like, look how hard we worked, or look how long it took us to get this money, and now we're going to go do this really special thing together.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend who they work really hard for their money. And so her son, whenever he does odd jobs around town, he gets money. He gives the mom some money.
Oh, does he?
He was like, don't worry, mom.
Oh, yeah.
He was like,
yeah.
I can help pay for dinner. And so totally. He'll give her. But so he already understands the value.
Yes.
Because he knows she struggles.
Yep.
To make this life for right. him. But it's a beautiful, because that's something my son, Ray, wouldn't understand.
He wouldn't think about.
No, he wouldn't be like, why are you giving her? You should save all that money.
Right.
Like Ray has like a big little stash of cash.
And he probably never has to use it.
Never has to use it.
Because it's all always provided for him.
And he counts it. And then the only time is like, maybe we could go get a game from GameStop.
Totally.
Because he knows I won't spend that much money on a thing. So he's like, I've saved $50 for a game. I'm like, well, you know, then that's all your money.
Right.
But he knows he's not going to starve to death.
Right.
You know, he knows he can take that money that he saved, buy the game, and he'll end up with more money eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's interesting to see. So you can see the difference in motivation right there.
Right there. Yeah,
that
right
this
there.
One little boy totally gets, like, you got to save it. And then, you know, mom's working real hard. So you got to give her some of that money.
Yeah.
So that maybe if you do want to get takeout tonight.
Yes.
She can help pay for it.
Right.
Or you can help her pay for that takeout.
So do you think, and like, I don't know if we have the answer right now. This is why we just need you guys to help us. Because I feel like we talk a lot about stuff.
Know.
And then I'm like,
what do you think?
And then like 2 weeks later, I'll be like, I think that was so wrong. Or like, I have a totally different way of thinking about that now.
Right. Or now that I thought about it.
Like, I'm just going to do an interjection real quick. Because I was thinking about the one where like, what is the primal fear underneath everything? And like, you know, if we are, if we're late and if we're stuck in traffic and we're like super mad, like what is the fear underneath it? Is it that I'm gonna like be perceived as irresponsible or whatever? But we read an article this morning and it was like, oh, maybe I'm just entitled
and impatient,
and maybe I'm impatient,
mm-hmm.
and maybe there's no deep-seated fear underneath that. Maybe I'm just being an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true,
you know. And so part of it, that's why discussion is so valuable, and we really want you to help us like think about this stuff, because we don't have the answer. This is literally what's coming out of my mouth right in this moment.
Right, right. And this is not rehearsed.
In 10 minutes, I may have a completely different answer, but it's just interesting stuff to think about. So anyways, my question is, and I'd be curious to hear from some of you, and thank you to those of you who do Facebook messages,
because
there are several of you out there who do that.
We do love it. Love it, love it, love it.
But like, okay, so is there any, like, do you think that survival trumps everything? Is it kind of like Maslow's in terms of motivation?
Well, that, I mean, if it comes, if we could strip everyone of their wealth.
Yes.
It probably would.
We would all just be making our decisions based on survival. If we were like,
let's say we all suddenly, the country gets taken over.
Sure.
And they're like, I'm sorry, it's a different country. We've frozen all your funds. All of you are, and this has happened in other countries before, as we know. We've taken everything. This isn't your country anymore.
Sure.
And so we're all basically refugees.
Right.
We lost our homes. We lost all our money. Our bank accounts are zero.
Yeah.
I think then at the bottom of the, you know, then we're all back into survival.
But what if someone is just like, revenge? I don't care. I'll die. I don't care. I just want to get revenge.
Well, but then who's the revenge on?
I don't know.
But I
think it depends on the situation.
Right. But well, I could see loss of hope. You know, right. Some people are just like, and that's what Man's Search for Meaning talks about in the Holocaust. Right. That if the people that had hope or could find meaning survived in the concentration camps.
Right.
But those who lost hope, they did not.
They didn't
survive.
It
was very hard for them. And I could see that. Like, if you're down, that's the base of survival. Everything is taken away from you. You're dependent on captors. And you're just like, what? I don't care.
Yeah.
Like they just killed my husband. They just killed my two children.
Yeah.
They killed my parents. And I'm like, I'm done.
What's the point?
I don't care. You cannot motivate me at that point. Now, there were a handful of people that did get motivated because I think they just saw a broader picture. Like, well, we can't let this happen again.
Yes.
Like they saw like there will be an end to this. And what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. And their motivation was to make a change.
To make a change. And they did. Some of them were like,
oh, yes.
Who was that one guy? Eli. I can't remember his name right now. He just passed.
Elijah Cumming.
No. Oh, no. Elijah Cumming was great. But there was a guy in the Holocaust and he died like a year ago, maybe. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Menzel or anyway.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. You folks will remember. But he came out of that just totally like, this will never happen again. I'm just going to write and write and write and teach and teach and teach and make sure this never happens again. And that was his motivating. That motivated him.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other thing we were just kind of jotting down is, okay, so if survival is meant, the other ones that we were kind of thinking about are love, power, and then like ego / recognition / fame.
Yes.
So I think like I do believe in primal fears as being a lot of motivators though. And like we talked about in the last podcast, I think two of the greatest primal fears are not belonging and not being loved.
Yeah. And they're kind of pretty closely related.
They're pretty closely related. But so I do think that, you know, our decisions or our motivations have to do with that.
Yes. Because like even the mom today was saying, you know, you don't want to be late to pick your kid up.
Because what will people think of me?
And you do feel that. Yeah. I feel that tremendous amount of like shame. Even if no one's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Even if no one's like, hasn't even come up to me and said, where were you?
Right.
If I'm late, I feel like, oh, but they're all noticing.
They all know. They all notice.
That I was like, and your kid is kind of standing there with that weird look on their face.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit.
No, I just like made them afraid that they got left out too.
Yeah, and she was saying, she's like, well, it's, so ego's not always a bad thing. Like, it can be, like, it can be a good motivator. I am going to follow the rules. I'm going to, I'm going to
be a nice person.
Be a nice person because, A, I should be a nice person, but also B, because I don't want people to think that I'm
a bad person.
A bad person.
Yes.
And I think that that's good. I think that kind of helps society function, to be honest.
It really does. Of course it does. That's how it works in groups. You know?
That's group. That's
we would
just,
all
that's
be like
being
what are
in
you doing, Kaylee? Like, you said you would go do the harvest today with Barbara and Jane, and you didn't go.
Right.
And now you know what? All 50 of us have less.
Yep.
Because you had promised.
Yeah.
And now we all have less.
Yes.
That's how the power of the group works.
Power of the group. Yeah.
And she's like,
And then the fear underneath that would be to be kicked out of the group.
Then you're not going to survive.
Then you're not going to survive.
Because you've got to depend on the group to live.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and this is something that I know I've mentioned here before that is kind of, I just wonder how many of you out there feel this way too. Like, I hate that sometimes I have to activate the negative in order to motivate me to do the positive.
Mm, that's a very good point.
So, for example, like, if I'm maybe not being as present as I'd like to be. Sometimes I'll be like, what if I woke up in the morning and Frankie was dead? Is this how I would want to spend my last day with her? Mm-hmm. So I have to activate the negative in order to be motivated.
To appreciate.
To like be like, no, engage, or like, you know.
Spend time,
or like, you know, read that same book for the fifth time, right, because they want you
to. Rather than the book, even though I'm like, can I change the words?
I know. Rather than being like, I'm sick of this book. Right. I don't want to read this again. But then sometimes I'll be like, yes, but what if tomorrow when I wake up, they're dead?
Right.
Is this really? So, you know, it's that's interesting. A motivator. But I don't like that one. I don't like that I have to kind of activate the negative thought.
Well, and then we can kind of get stuck on the negative. And then we kind of can use that as motivators for others.
Other things,
and then too. You start realizing, like, did I tell my kid, right, you know, like, something horrible to make them do something?
Oh, totally.
You know, like, yeah. Where it's like, well, if you don't do that, then, you know, you probably won't have this for the rest of the week.
Oh, exactly.
And they're all like, what?
Exactly.
And then I'm like, what did I just say?
Oh, yeah. And
that's what's a terrible thing that I just said.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you don't put your clothes away right now, you're not going
to. You won't be able to have this for the rest of the week. Yeah. I do that sometimes, and then I realize.
And then you stop being like, ah.
They look kind of like devastated.
Yeah. Or kind of like, why?
What?
I know.
How did we get from this to this? Like this.
So do. So, I mean, that is kind of probably a pretty big human motivator then, mm-hmm. like the negative,
but
how effective is that?
I don't think it is as effective as when that article we were reading about the Skinner box and B.F. Skinner and.
Yeah. So explain. So I found this I've talked about Mark Manson before on this podcast. I know that Mark Manson is awesome. Mark Manson thinks that humans are, I don't think he like necessarily believes in a God.
He doesn't think we're altruistic either.
Yeah, like, he doesn't really love humans. He doesn't believe in the goodness of humans. He kind of believes in the like, that humans are shitty.
We're kind of bad.
So I have very different beliefs than mm-hmm. he does. However, I think he's really interesting what he has to say.
Oh yeah, that was a good article too.
It's a really good article about how impatient humans are now.
Well, and it was really interesting because there is research, B.F. Skinner did this research on behavior. How to make a behavior stick. Like right. You're teaching an animal or a human a behavior and you want them to stick with it.
Right.
Like you want to introduce that behavior and you want them to do it all the time.
Yes.
And so the Skinner did, he tested rats, of course, yeah. And he put them in the Skinner box. And the rats, all they had to do was push a lever and a sweet treat would come out.
Yes. Every time they pushed the lever, the sweet treat came out.
And they learned, I just push the lever, sweet
and
treat.
And I get it.
Push the lever, sweet treat. And then what happened is they changed it and they didn't put the sweet treat anymore mm-hmm. there. And the poor rats would just push and push and push and push. They get little bloodied hands.
Yeah.
They pushed so hard and they couldn't extinguish the behavior. Mm-mm. In other words, the behavior was set.
Yeah.
And so if you learn anything from that, you learn that reward has a tremendous value.
Yeah.
That if you can reward a behavior, it's very hard to extinguish.
Yes. But it also another interesting thing I thought about that study was that it also teaches us entitlement. If I push this lever, I should get the treat.
Right. Because, you know, you guys, because they designed our phones based on Skinner.
Yes, which is totally
Pavlov,
messed up.
The Pavlov thing where you ring the bell. Then you don't even have to have the lever anymore. Let's say you ring a bell and the food comes out. So the rat learns, I don't even have to push the lever, just a bell rings.
Yep.
So it listens for the bell and then you hear the bell and it starts to salivate and it's like, here comes my sweet treat.
Yeah.
So you link the manual action to just a sound or something. So they learned with our phones and they gave us all the clickies and the ding dings.
Yeah.
And we are just like the rats
or the
dogs.
Just like them. Yeah.
We love the ding ding, click, click. Because you click, click, and then something wonderful happens. And how when someone's phone dings?
We all look.
I love when we're in a group of strangers. I'll be at the airport. I was at the airport recently and someone's phone dinged and we were in the waiting area and there's like 20 of us and we're all like, whoop. And everyone, we look like little animals and everyone's like checking their phones. Someone put their hands in their pocket and it turned out to be not any of ours. It was one person. Yeah. We were all like, take a break. You know, it was very interesting to see. We were so conditioned to the ding.
For sure.
And that, but now and we're even like, impatient because even when I push my thing to look for a topic.
Yeah. Why is it loading so slow?
Why is it taking so long?
Yeah, exactly.
It's taking like 2 seconds. Remember in the old days? It used to be dial-up.
Yeah, oh, and yeah, used to go,
ding, 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 and it would, and it would take a long time, but we were so conditioned then.
Yeah, we were like, whatever.
It's starting,
starting to load it up or whatever, and then I'd leave, and then I'd come back, hoping that it had connected.
But nowadays.
But how much faster can we go? Anyways, this is a whole different topic.
Right.
But
it is linked to motivation, though.
It is linked to motivation.
Right.
And we want instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
But I, with the whole Skinner thing, then these rats got super pissed.
So pissed.
Because
their lever wasn't giving them the treat.
Yes. Yes. But how does this tie back into what we were saying with the, like, negative?
Oh, because, like, what I think, because really what it is because as humans we think the negative is helpful as a motivator.
Right.
It really isn't. It's the reward.
It's the reward. We like the reward. You can reward,
but the thing is you have to reward someone instantly.
Yeah, because then you're impatient.
To the behavior, right? Yeah, exactly. You're like, wonderful report. Here's a candy, whatever it is.
Yeah,
or also probably a monetary motivation,
sure.
Which would be
or recognition.
Very
people are
good.
Very motivated
monetary
by monetary
or recognition. So something like, I wrote a little thank you so much, Jane, for that wonderful piece you wrote in the blog today.
Yeah,
blah blah blah. We love Jane. Da 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 da. And the person's like, yes, I'm going to write another wonderful blog in a week.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Because I feel
well,
motivated.
I think that's how you can get used too. Because you're like, will they love me if I do this?
You're constantly seeking.
You're like, I want the reward. I want the reward.
Yes.
I want the reward.
Then
you get pissed.
Yes,
you're like, wait.
I think they don't like me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then suddenly you're like, what?
No,
one time they forgot, or who knows? They're busy on someone else's blog.
Yeah,
they forgot about your blog.
Exactly.
But the poor person immediately jumps to like the rats in the box.
Yeah.
It wasn't like sweet treat.
Where's the sweet treat?
No sweet treat. Hitting.
Don't hit the table.
Oh, sorry. I was
kidding. Bad for a podcast. But
I want you guys to hear it.
Hitting.
And then the rat's like, obviously I'm going to die here then. Or, you know, and then the human is like, they don't like me. And you're like, how did you get to that?
Right.
How did we jump from reward to, no, you don't like me.
Right.
It's like, uh-oh.
Totally.
There was inconsistency.
Totally.
In the reward schedule of some type, probably.
Yeah, something
But isn't
like
that interesting?
Yeah.
So it's like, so when you're working with people even, it's interesting to make note, like, what are the best ways to motivate people?
For sure.
And also, the article you shared today, which is about patience.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we ask people, you need to do A, B, C, and D. But then you have to have a realistic time frame.
Right.
In other words, because they're just, it has to be realistic so they can actually get the work done to match that expectation.
Yes, totally. Well, and I feel like we have so much access to information. Like, this article was awesome. We'll share this article with you guys. It was just talking about, like, how fast there's so much stimulation. Mm. And so the time between the stimulation and then the action to follow.
The stimulus and the response.
The stimulus and the response. It's like there's too much stimulus. So then it's like we want that response.
Yes.
As quick as it possibly can to match the stimulus. But we have so much stimulus. How could you possibly get the reaction, the response, you know, as quickly as we are kind of getting trained? Because we're getting trained by our phones. You can get the response that quick.
Oh, that's right.
You
can. Expect our human counterparts to do the same thing.
Yeah, or situations, or like, you know, success in business, or like,
right.
You know, love, or
love
trust in a relationship.
People start a new business, and like within a week, they're like, well, I'm not doing very well. It's like, well, isn't
you probably
there,
won't for about 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, isn't there research about that? Like, but we're so used to being, you know, like,
totally.
When will I get my reward?
Yeah.
Like, well, you may not get it for a while.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in the big picture of things. And then that's where patience comes in.
Which is hard when your survival depends on it, though.
There you
go.
You know,
so they all kind of feed into each other, too.
They're
it's
all
like,
interconnected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, and then I think another big one is power.
Mm-hmm.
Power. You know, people are desperate for power.
Yes.
And that motivates a lot of people. I don't think there's a lot of, you know, and I just really love... I love this example in Lord of the Rings. So I haven't watched it very much. I'm not a big, huge Lord of the Rings fan. But what's the main guy's name?
Frodo or Bilbo?
Frodo. Didn't Frodo get the ring?
Frodo gets the ring.
And then wasn't there that moment that he almost let the power corrupt him?
Oh, yeah.
And he could feel the power of it. And he was like, oh God. And he's like, had to get it off of his finger or something happened. Or didn't they throw it? Or I don't know. Something happens
where he has to take it off. He had to take it off. They hide it. They put it away.
Because he felt the power of that ring. And I think that there's corruption. Yes. And I think that there's something really intoxifying about power.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, it makes sense because, you know, who wants to feel control, like out of control? No, let's be honest. Nobody likes that feeling.
Nobody.
We all want to have control. We all want to have control over our lives. And power seems like a pretty good way to get control.
And some of us aren't that motivated by power. And maybe because we don't feel a lack of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But like for me, I'm not that into power. Mm-hmm. But when it's starting to be used, I'm unaware.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, but if you think about where you are in like your needs, like you know that you've got survival.
I've got survival. I've got my love needs met.
You have a lot of your needs met, so maybe you're just on steadier
ground. I don't feel like I have to grab for something.
Grab for power.
Like, for power anyway.
But you grab for it when you feel threatened.
When I feel threatened or if I feel a friend is threatened or something like that, sure. Then I'm like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Because it's all about being just and,
yeah, you know. I also really like justice. But I'm just thinking about the example where the woman was telling Joe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got pissed and you wanted to then exert your power.
I want to exert my power because I'm like, you don't get to do.
Yeah, you don't like it when things are
unjust. Yeah, and
especially towards animals and your children.
And children. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, don't you do that. But you know how some people use power in relationships.
For sure.
As an interplay.
Yeah.
And I am very unaware of that sometimes.
Yeah, you're very unaware.
And I'm kind of like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, no, you got to pay attention.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to
because
that
stuff. Because I'm not really, I'm like, oh.
Well, it keeps happening to me over and over.
Yes, and that's been your life lesson. And for me, I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Because the thing is with me, as soon as I trust someone, which is pretty quickly.
Yeah, you trust way quicker than I do.
So that's why people don't have that much power over you because you don't really let them in.
I only like three people in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, you know.
Totally.
You.
And me.
Mike. The kids.
Yeah. I know. We were just talking about this earlier. I'm like, B and I have been through fucking hell and back.
Ooh.
Okay, we've been through a lot together.
We've been through some train rides, we can tell you.
We've been through a lot together, and it's just a different thing. Like, you know, I don't get shaken.
No.
Shook up?
No.
By anything that happens, and I just feel like we've been through so much.
We will definitely fight, I think.
Well, of course we fight, but we don't let the fight scare us.
No, it's not like that's the end of that, I guess. You know, it's more like, okay, well, here we go through a fight.
Here we go, and fine. We're going to get through the other side.
They're both valid opinions.
Sure.
You know, but...
But yeah, like, I mean, I feel
but
like...
But you let people in. You used to. I don't think you do anymore.
No, I'm a lot more cautious.
Because you used to be like an open door.
I used to let everyone in.
I'm like, who's that?
And then I'm like...
And I'm like, how'd they get in?
And then I'm like, why is everything so painful all the time?
But then, of course, I'd be like, well, maybe they should be in. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just too judgy or something or what, or too protective.
No, but now I feel like there's just such interesting things that happen, you know? And it's like, yeah... I don't know. Like, I have to just be more cautious.
Boundaries.
I just have to put up boundaries. Mm-hmm. I totally have to put up boundaries.
Yes, boundaries.
But like, you know, what's the motivation to get people, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's interesting to think about that in terms of
and
relationships
also
then.
A person that person's motivated by power.
That person's motivated by power.
So in order to get them to do things.
Right.
In other words, understanding like what is their thing.
Right.
You know, mine might be like love.
Sure.
I just want to feel loved and safe, probably. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, we need to make B feel loved and safe. And then she'll flourish.
Yes.
You can give her lots of stuff to do, and then she'll flourish.
And then she'll flourish.
And then maybe this person needs some a sense
recognition,
of power.
Yeah, or something.
Sense of recognition, something for the ego. And then they somehow can turn down the power volume.
Sure.
Anyway, yeah. I think that would be interesting.
That would be really interesting. And I think that's part of the importance of doing these, like, personality tests.
Yes.
Like, we did that one, you know, it was communication styles, and then we all did the
Enneagram.
Enneagram, which is also very and way more accurate than that other one. I feel like, well, I think they had different purposes.
They had different purposes, yeah, exactly.
But in terms of, like, personality, the Enneagram is fascinating.
Oh, wow. Mine was intense.
Mine was intense, too.
Mine's all the Achiever. You don't like anybody, or like you like very few people, and you just like want to, you know, you know, I forget what it was. I was like, geez. I was like, okay.
What was mine? Mine was like.
I can't remember yours. Yours was probably a nurturer or something.
No, it wasn't.
Good.
No, mine was all
the
about.
The connector, the lover.
No, it wasn't. Mine was all about needing to. Because you know how my glasses are? I'm insignificant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that you need to be significant.
I need to be significant. Or I need to, like, make a mark in the world or something like that.
What I'm was like, yours? What was
oh,
the
that's
name
great.
Of yours?
I'm looking for it right now, so say something interesting while I find
it. Oh, mine is, you can look it up, it's Enneagram. Oh, she's seeing
Enneagram, you guys gotta check that. Oh, I was the enthusiast.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, I am very enthusiastic, don't you
yeah.
think?
Yeah, oh yeah.
But anyway.
You are very enthusiastic, to a fault.
Yeah, I am to a fault,
yeah.
I know. But it's so funny, because I always say in this podcast, my glasses are being insignificant. And it said the basic fear of my personality type, their deepest fear is that they have no significance in the world. They tend to express this by frequently distinguishing themselves from the rest of the world. And the basic desire, they desire uniqueness and personal identity. They long to be authentically different, which may lead them to intense bouts of creativity and self-expression.
Oh my God, that is totally you.
Isn't that hilarious? But then I love the strengths, the weaknesses, and then how they like to work, how you should email them, how they deal with conflict. Oh, and then here are my motivators. When people that's just general. So it says, the enthusiasts tend to be motivated and energized by achieving personal or professional goals. Yes.
Yes.
Feeling accepted and affirmed by others. Understanding their own emotions. Yeah. I spend my whole life trying to understand
what
my
is
emotions.
My emotion?
And expressing themselves artistically. I was like, oh, it's so true.
Oh, that's
but
good.
The beauty of learning these motivators for ourselves as individuals and also the people you're in relationship with, then you're kind of like, oh, wow, you deeply, deeply, deeply need to hear that you did a good job, don't
yes.
you?
Oh, right. That's exactly
like,
right.
Like, so then, okay, maybe then
you
my
know
job.
What motivates that person
yeah.
to make them do more for you and your company.
Totally. And yeah. then my job is to be like, oh my gosh, that you did such a wonderful job.
Yes.
And when they start to get their feelings hurt or whatever, then I can remember, oh, they need to be validated.
Mine is like, I need to feel worthy.
Oh, yeah.
People, this person I type, need to be validated in order to feel worthy. They pursue success and want to be admired.
Oh.
They are frequently hardworking, competitive, and are highly focused in the pursuit of their goals, whether their goal is to be the most successful salesman in the company or the sexiest woman in their social circle. Isn't that funny?
That is awesome.
But it does make, I am kind of like that.
Well, yeah, you are. I mean, these are really interesting things.
They
had
a deep sense of shame about who they really are, a shame they unconsciously fear will be unmasked if another gets too close.
Oh, yeah.
Threes are often generous and likable, but are difficult to really know.
That's
when unhealthy,
so
their narcissism takes an ugly turn, and they can become cold-blooded and ruthless in the pursuit of their goals.
Oh, yeah.
Which I can.
You totally can.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can be like, I don't fucking care, and you just, you know, you're just gonna do what
oh, yeah,
you need
like,
to do.
No one's stopping me.
No one's gonna stop
I'm boarding
you.
This plane right now.
No one is gonna stop
yeah.
you.
I'm like, oh, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why Mike's like, you love to be with startups.
Oh, uh-huh.
You love to be in companies that are growing.
Yes.
Because they're so, like, exciting and, you know,
right.
like, there's always, like, there's something to achieve.
Yes.
It would be different if you're at a company that's like, we're Amazon.
And we know that we're killing it every day. You may not be as happy there.
No, I'd
be
like,
what's my,
yum.
What's the purpose?
Yeah.
What's my point?
Why am I here?
You know, and some people just like to get a lot done. So they may love working at Amazon because they're like, look at all these things I can get done
exactly.
in one day.
Exactly.
Boom, boom, boom. And they're all menial tasks. And
right.
I don't have to think about them a lot. I mean, and sometimes I do like, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I do fantasize about just having like a 9-to-5 job that I don't have to think about
oh, yeah.
after 5 o'clock. But on the other hand, like then I just know that my personality type really, really is into emotions and self-expression
and
artistry
creativity.
And creativity. And then I'm like, well, it's just who I am.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and I
and
think
you have to recognize that those parts of your personality.
You have to recognize those parts of your personality. And I think it's also really helpful to know the personality types of those you're in relationship with.
Oh, yeah.
So that you can be like, oh, my God, why are you always craving attention? Like, what's wrong with you? You can be like, this is part of who you are. And, of course, the Enneagram test, personality test, it's going to take into account all the deeper things we talk about. Like if you were neglected as a kid, you're going to answer these questions differently that then put you in the category of this.
Exactly.
Like it's, and so it ties in all the actual underneath stuff too, mm-hmm. that causes us to
be the people that we are.
The people that we are.
Yes. Right. That shape us into what we want to be and right. how we want to be perceived.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so some of this is just like, okay, this is how they are.
Yeah.
And I wonder if these personality tests like change throughout a lifetime.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure if you take it every 10 years or even 5 years,
right.
you might see something might very, very different.
Because what if you heal a part of yourself that was totally motivated by right. recognition and praise, and then you're like, oh, I understood where that came from, did some personal work, and then I wonder if it would change to then be like, you know, now right. you're
now I want to give
all about
back
service
or whatever. Exactly. Yeah, now I want to be about service and exactly. not about not about per se achieving,
making
or,
a name for myself.
Right, exactly. Which I think for me, I hope happens as I get older.
I bet it will.
That it just sort of slows down and.
But you have a maturity to the way that you do this.
Yeah, too, I think I'm like. Better at it than I was when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
for sure. And people always like, I'm so busy. I hate when people complain about that stuff. I'm like, really? Oh. Like, how busy are you?
Yeah.
Like, are you working four jobs? Like the lady down the street?
Right.
Because I don't think so.
Right.
But that's that whole achieving thing. Like, I'm like, no, no. You know,
right.
You don't even know what busy is.
Right.
But I don't know why I feel so like, you know, people are not. Like, I know those people that are struggling. I'm like, they're busy.
They're busy. The single mom who is also working.
Oh.
That's busy.
Worked all day. Picks her kid up.
And then has nobody to help with bedtime.
Then she's got to work maybe a night shift.
Yeah.
Like I have clients like that. And it's like, they have, you know, those people are busy folks.
I know. And I always feel so bad when people look at me and they're like, I don't know how you do what you do. I'm like, I'm not watching my children right now.
Oh, I know. That was you had a great response today.
And she's like, I don't know how you have the energy to do what you do. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like somebody else is taking care of my children
and
right now.
People say that to me sometimes. And then I'm like, dude, should I be tired? Or I feel like something's not right. Like I get all like, I don't feel like it's that hard. Right. You know what I mean? Or that I get a weird second guessing thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go back to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
We don't have three jobs.
Yes.
You know, to totally. Make ends meet. And we're not stressing about survival and food on the table.
I'm not stressed if my kids are going to eat.
Yeah.
And I'm not stressed if I can turn the heat on.
That will help. And
like, I feel like I've got nothing to complain
about.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no.
In terms of being busy. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we all have psychological stuff we can complain about. You know, I'm like, I would like some more inner peace.
Yes.
You know, my internal struggles I think are real, but my external ones, not so much.
Not so much. Yeah, I read a great poem the other day about a guy who was like, about death or something. And he was like, do you think all the things you worry about today are really going to matter on the day you die?
Right.
Like, it was this great poem. I can't remember
but
the
again,
guy.
But again, that's like, oh,
and
sorry.
Then I was all like, oh, yeah, they're not. Because I'm like, oh, I know, I didn't order the horses, they're blankets. And I didn't finish all the certifications yet. And blah, right. all these weird, worried thoughts.
Yeah.
But in the big picture, these are not thoughts that should make you feel like it's the
end of the world. Or that you need to then bark at the, you know, the person bagging your groceries.
Exactly.
Because you're in such a hurry.
I'm in such a hurry, you do not understand.
I had some self-reflection from my computer. My computer's been in the shop for weeks now, and I, like, totally lost it on the guy. I'm like, how is this taking so long? You know, and then I'm like, who are you so entitled to be, like, more stressed out about not having your computer than anybody else who doesn't have their computer either?
Yeah, good point.
I'm like, what makes, you know, I have access to a desk. I'm staring at another computer right now.
Nice big computer.
Like, God, I just get so grumpy at myself for being this way.
Right, and the poor guy's probably trying to fix it.
But it's like,
you know, he's like, I'm trying.
No, he's trying.
It's unfixable.
He was trying.
I mean, I don't know what to do when you can't fix something.
He was very frustrated he couldn't fix my computer as well.
Like he felt bad.
Yeah, so I don't know. Sometimes, but that's why I'm like, why do I have to then activate the negative? Why would I have to be like, now, Kaylee, picture yourself on your deathbed.
Oh, right.
You know, like.
And is this going to really matter?
Yeah, I'm like, now imagine you're dying.
Yeah.
And now would you like to be thinking about, you know, it's like, it's just, I don't want to always have to like. It's like
such an extreme.
It's like a boomerang thing for me. It's like I gotta, or not a boomerang, but like a pendulum. It's like sometimes I gotta swing it so far the other way so that I can come back to the middle.
Maybe it's gotta be the gratitude list instead.
Totally.
The opposite.
It just needs to be the opposite.
Deep breath.
Another thing that I was thinking about too, it's like, okay, so like what is the point of mindfulness? Mm-hmm. Because what if there's so, because last night I was like laying in bed and I have this book that I'm reading that I'm super into. It's kind of like witchy and woo-woo. So, you know, whatever.
A fun book.
A fun book. And then I also wanted to watch The Great British Bake Off. And so I was like laying there and I'm like, okay, so how do I make this decision? Part of me is like, okay, I want to keep it like going deeper or higher into like my own personal practice and mindfulness and like, you know, spiritual awakening and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But is that going to make me a better person than if I spend my time not thinking so much about that stuff, but just doing things that I love and being happy? Mm. So like when I sat there, I'm like, good what point. Should I do? Should I read my book and like really kind of like work on these things and gain the information and the tools and put it into practice and learn the different things that I can be doing to, you know, open up this chakra and like these different affirmations and stuff? Is that going to make me a better person? Or am I going to be a better person if I lay there in bed with my husband and watch a great TV show that we enjoy together? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really interesting thing. And so I was thinking about like, okay, well, what is motivating me for either one of these? Is watching the TV show, is that just the lazy option? Mm-hmm. And I'm not feeling motivated to do the personal work? Or am I motivated to do the personal work because I feel like it's going to make me a better person, but maybe I'm actually a better person if I'm just happy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right.
Am I a better mom and a better friend and a better wife and a better boss and a better coworker if I'm just happy? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. If I'm like spiritually enlightened, which right. is going to make me a better person. What's the purpose?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Does that make sense, my question, as I'm laying there in bed?
Being oh, yeah. Like, and isn't it like a balance?
You know, it's totally a balance. And that's why I read some pages and then I watched the show.
Yeah. And what I do, sometimes that I do that, I have this book I'm reading about on being mortal, about death and dying, and by this great doctor from India who works in America, but his family's from India. And I was reading it and it's just like taking me into this, like, you know, what is it like to work with death and dying? What does the end look like? And how is our culture dealing with death and dying? And then all of a sudden I was like, I feel super, super sad.
Oh.
And then I was like, you know what? You need to go do something fun.
Yeah.
Like right. It was almost like you're doing too much deep work.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm like, why are we even here? Like I shouldn't even be here. Like, it was like, my work is not profound. And, yeah. You know, it was just, but it was yeah. good that he was making me think about exactly. our culture and how we envision our lives. But then it was like, B, you have just gone real way deep.
I know, right?
And you may not come up. Like, take yeah, a break.
Totally. And it's like.
And then I'm like, just go do some laundry.
Yeah.
It's like, go do something manual.
Yes.
You know, like, and
yes.
fold your son's clothes or, you yes. know what I mean? Like, bring you back to this place and this yes. present
and
time.
And I think also that's why maybe people who just did have more or still do have more, like, manual labor jobs where there's not a lot of, like, too much thought that goes into it. It's actually a form, I believe, of meditation,
oh,
of being
yes.
present. You're just... You're
Mother
actually
Teresa would say
doing
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, doing the dishes, feeding yes. the poor.
Yes.
You know, you're actively helping
you're actively
people.
Engaged in your present moment.
Right, yes, right.
You're not like stuck in your head or you're not like, you know, sometimes I feel like what, you know, I have all this like desire for Ula to be a bigger company and for, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to have to try so hard to fill trainings. Like it's exhausting.
Or
it
maybe
wears
we're
me
not
down.
Successful because we're not this big.
Yeah.
Company.
Or when we have small classes at the studio, I'm like, that's it. You know,
yeah,
we
it.
Failed.
Yes,
we're not
we're
good.
Done.
You know, all these like boutique fitness classes popping up all around town that charge like $28 a drop in class. I'm like, we will never make any money because we only make
$7
a class, you
yeah.
know, like all these things. And it's like, okay, so why so badly do I need this recognition of being like successful?
Right. Yes.
Like, where is that
going
lack
back to the
coming
motivation
from?
Again.
Yeah. Going
right.
back to the motivation, like where's this lack coming from? Because it's not like, big surprise, it's not like Ula feeds our family.
No, right.
You know, it's
yes.
not like, oh my God, if I don't get this money,
we aren't gonna make
it. We aren't
it.
Gonna feed ourselves.
Yeah, we're
no.
gonna have to sell it or whatever.
So part of me is like, well, why am I so stressed about how successful this company is when it's actually not a survival thing?
Right. Good point.
So why don't
it's
I
getting
just,
confused at that lower level?
Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
well, why don't you just enjoy it? Why do
right.
you have to like put your significance based on like what your profit margin?
Right, and
why,
that
you know,
really
like,
motivating you. because when you get focused on the numbers, sometimes that's when we get the most depressed.
Yeah, I totally get depressed because I'm like, I suck. We should just shut down. We're not successful.
Versus focusing on like, are we making difference? Are we making change in people's lives?
Right. And that's why but I don't think that the world is always motivated like that. So even if you do feel that way, you are part of a collective energy that prioritizes success in terms of numbers, in terms of money, in terms of recognition. And so, you know, like I know that and I'm aware of that and I'm mindful of that, but I can slip into that
too. Oh, yes. Yes. Very easily.
Right. I can slip into it, you know? Right. And so I just have to be like, wow.
And be aware of it.
Ula is making a difference.
And it isn't a good motivator.
Ula is significant. No, it's not a good motivator.
Yeah. It's not. We would say that's a bad motivator.
It is a bad motivator. Yeah. But for a lot of people, it's really effective.
Yes, it kind of depends on the person.
But do you think the guy
and the product?
Do you think the guy who made Amazon was motivated by making a change in people's lives?
No. Well, maybe making things more convenient for people. It could have started that
isn't
way.
Isn't he super bad to his employees and stuff?
I don't know. I think maybe he is.
I think he's really. I think he like makes them go really, really, really fast in the warehouses.
Right.
And, like
they kind of burn out.
Oh yeah, I think
the
that they're like
burn out and they're not paid really well. I don't think either.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't know. So, but I'm like, well, if you really care about making a difference in people's lives, like you would think about your employees too.
Oh yeah,
not just your customers.
Well, think about something like Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
How like
think about her.
Think about her right now. How, you know, for me it's like what an impact that person had.
Yeah.
On the world.
Yes.
And yet her impact, I'm sure she didn't do it because she's like, I hope I'm known.
I hope everyone still talks about
me. Yeah, no, it was all about because she was just clearly motivated to help the poor.
Totally.
She's like, if one thing I'm gonna do in my life, I'm gonna help the freaking poor.
I know, and I totally get that. But there's still another part of me that's like, yeah, but I also would like to actually, like,
have a successful
business.
Right. Well, it's kind of successful.
Oh, barely.
In the terms of the people that we impact, I bet you guys can argue that. Are you impacted by Ula? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's like, okay, but like, you know, I just like...
The only thing that makes me feel bad is more people don't know about it.
I know. I'm like,
that's
how do
I
get
feel.
The word
I'm
out?
Like, I want more people to know about it. Not necessarily for financial gain, but I think we owe people it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For sure, because like, we deeply
people,
believe in this.
Yeah. And I'm like, you people, I at least see the people walking on the street. I'm like, you look so sad. If you come to Ula today.
Don't you just think about that? How many people just are dying inside to just have a place that they can go and dance and play and laugh and sing and cry and hold hands with strangers.
Hold
like,
hands when you hold
that's
hands.
That's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
That so many people don't get to do. Yeah.
We all
I want people to know
today.
About it. But I also want to know I did a good job.
Right. Yeah. I want to know you did a good job. Yeah.
I know. I did a good job.
Because I just want people to.
I know, but you're more mature than me.
It. Everybody freaking needs it. There's my friend's mother wants to come, but she feels bad. She thinks she's too old.
Right.
And I'm like, you're like 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't even know. It's nothing about age. Like, it's again, that the little boxes we put ourselves in. Stop putting ourselves in boxes.
Totally.
Jeez.
I know. I mean, I obviously deeply believe in this work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course I do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's interesting to figure out, okay, what motivates. And when things get hard, like what makes me not want to quit?
Oh, that's a good one.
You know?
That's good. Right.
Well, I just think about all the people.
And it's the people.
Yeah.
It's
whenever people. I think about like, I'm done. I'm tired. Oh, I want to be done with this. This is way too hard.
Yeah.
Then I'm always like, but the people.
But the poor people.
And not the poor people.
Not the poor people, but I just feel like people would just be abandoned and.
The people.
They would just be lost.
Well, I love the people.
Yeah, I love the people too. Oh my gosh, I love the people.
I know.
So.
And so, I mean, ultimately, you know, it's just, it's interesting to think about like why anyone stays in something.
And
or why
we do the things we do.
Why do we do something
where we're pushing something up a hill maybe, where it's not that easy.
Yeah, exactly. And then if we can track it back to, oh, is this because I need recognition? Which, hello, I'm not judging. I just spent 5 minutes talking about that.
Yes.
Then maybe we can be like, okay, well, why do I feel the need to be recognized for this? And is that actually the reason that I'm doing this? Or is it because I want to serve? Or because I deeply believe in this? Or because I want to make the world a better place?
Mm-hmm.
And are things just getting clouded by some of these things like power and recognition and feeling like you're
important
or that, you know, that people like you,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, are these other things that aren't actually underneath? Are they the ones that are taking the driver's seat? Mm-hmm. And if so, then can you have that dialogue with yourself to be like, okay, you need to get in the back seat.
Yeah, there you go.
And this actual purpose is the one that needs to drive.
There you go. Because, you know, you can say, is this really motivating me?
Right.
So you can say like, no, it's kind of making me feel shitty. It's like, okay, then okay. It's not working.
Right.
So let's switch it around. Yep. Just like you said, someone switch else gets you in the driver's seat now. Mm-hmm. Let's try gratitude.
Let's try love. Let's try service. Love. Let's try other human beings.
Right. Other human beings for others, giving for others. That's a huge motivator for people.
Right.
And then maybe you're like, I feel better today.
Right.
I feel like that's why we're doing this.
Right. And I think, you know, just to kind of go back to the beginning though, I think this is once survival has been met.
Yes. Once that's a very good point because you know, survival is the bottom. Like you need to have.
And it's the most important.
It is the most important because if you don't have food and water and a shelter, you don't got nothing.
Right.
I mean, you really, that's the bottom line.
Well, and I think that also there.
You got to work for those. If you got to work for those things, you got to get those things first.
But I think also like Mother Teresa, like. Also, you don't necessarily have to move past that in order to be happy.
No.
You know, some of the happiest people are like, you know what? Every morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do the work and I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to make money and I'm going to come home and I'm going to feed my family and we're going to have, you know, a great evening together. Mm-hmm. And that is enough.
And that is enough. And that's pretty beautiful stuff.
Well, that's like everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, at least for me, I'm like, I don't want anything to, like, to sacrifice my, who I am with my family, you know? And if, is this worth me being a, not a nice person for?
Yes. No.
You know? So if you can just like.
Or not be happy.
No. Yeah, exactly. And then when you're not happy,
it's. And then you can't be happy with your family.
And I think, you know, just going and looking back at this impatience that we as a society feel right now and this need for instant gratification and this entitlement, you know, and when we kind of can strip all that stuff away, I think it helps us be more present. I think it helps us be more grateful. I think it helps us connected more to the actual physicality of the world.
I agree.
You know, yeah. And so maybe simplifying is the answer.
Yes. Right. Taking it down.
Taking it down a little bit.
Yeah, taking like it down a notch.
Slow it down.
Yeah, maybe you don't need power, babe.
Maybe you don't need power.
Fame. Maybe you don't need recognition.
Maybe what you need is
maybe
love.
Maybe those are false. Yeah, maybe all you need is love.
Maybe all you need is love.
Yeah, and you're like, love? That makes it pretty simple.
Revolutionary.
Yeah.
Anyways, interesting stuff. I'm gonna keep thinking about this. And, you know, like we said, not all of these are our concrete thoughts. These are thoughts that came up and we verbalized them and maybe they have meaning and maybe they don't, but that's why hearing from you guys is so valuable.
So, so important. And it just expands our worldview that for much sure. More.
Oh my God, for sure.
So thank you. Thank
Anyways,
you for
thanks
listening.
For listening. Thanks for commenting. Thank you for subscribing, liking, rating, sharing. We really appreciate it.
We really, really do.
Okay. Bye.